Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. The world's soil is in trouble, even in the fertile Midwest. Some experts warn that if degradation continues unchecked, topsoil could be gone in 60 years, with implications for agriculture and the broader environment. Harvest Public Media considers two possible ways to improve the soil. The first, planting strips of prairie grass alongside farm fields. Amy Mayer reports.
Ecologist Lisa Schulte Moore and cattleman Seth Watkins are catching up. The unlikely partners have spent this day in Coon Rapids, Iowa, telling others why they value prairie. Doug Davenport of the Natural Resources Conservation Service first connected the scientist and the farmer. And that's how Schulte Moore's prairie experiment found its way to Watkins Farm. Now let's back up. Schulte Moore of Iowa State University had been asking the question,
are there ways that we can take advantage of this historically predominant, this native ecosystem of Iowa, not only to benefit our natural areas, but to benefit agriculture itself?
To answer that, she and her research team planted a mix of grasses and flowers next to row crops at the Neil Smith National Wildlife Refuge in, of course, Prairie City, Iowa. Schulte Moore says they wanted to see whether these prairie strips could increase biodiversity while also preserving soil and improving water quality. The results impressed her.
From a scientific perspective, I consider it absolutely beautiful.
90% reduction in nitrogen runoff, phosphorus runoff, and sediment loss. Those are three of the biggest scourges for farmers. And prairie strips are much cheaper than putting in terraces, a common conservation practice. The impacts also impressed the conservationist Doug Davenport.
Extra wildlife habitat, better water infiltration. Some of the water would stay on the field instead of running off at the bottom. And as they've shown, the soil will stay on the field longer than it does without them.
Seth Watkins tromps through knee-high, stiff stalks in southwest Iowa. Dick thistles and sparrows sing, and bees land on bright flowers on this patch of prairie. He credits it with clearing a nearby pond and furthering his commitment to planting native grasses. A fence keeps the cattle from the pond now, and a pipe brings them clean drinking water.
Cattle that drink clean water, their calves weigh about 50 pounds more at weaning than cattle that are just wandering right out into a pond and mucking it up.
So this is it right here, what we're walking on.
This is it. You're on what we just drilled.
Early this summer, Watkins planted five prairie strips. We're standing on one. And right now, it's covered with short, green, leafy weeds. But Watkins says the expectation is that within 3 years, the prairie grasses will overtake the weeds. Throughout his neighborhood, Watkins points to straight rows of bright green corn cascading down steep hills. It saddens him. In the past few years, he says he's watched many farmers sell their cattle herds and convert pasture land to more lucrative row crops.
I'll be the first to admit, I don't have nearly the profit per acre right now that a lot of my neighbors have. I will lay odds that over 20 years or 50 years, I can beat them. That's my thinking, and I know that, unfortunately, long-term thinking it's not the norm anymore.
Watkins is trying to manage for the long term because, like so many farmers, he's quick to rattle off the projected need to feed 9 billion people by 2050. That will be impossible without soil, and for Watkins, swaths of prairie may be part of the solution. I'm Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
Now, Luke Runyon takes us to eastern Colorado, where researchers are turning to some unexpected partners to revive the soil.
Conventional wisdom would tell you, if you're seeing less grass on the land, rein in the cows. Nature Conservancy ecologist William Burnage says that's not entirely true.
Plants actually respond to grazing. It actually stimulates growth.
We're standing just beyond a fence at the Fox Ranch, a few miles west of the Kansas border. The 14,000-acre property, owned by the Nature Conservancy, is part of a grand experiment. Researchers are putting in practice something called holistic management, or planned grazing. Here's how planned grazing works. A detailed chart drives every decision made on the ranch. At the beginning of each season, you plot out your moves on the map, like a Monopoly board. Better grass on the eastern side? You'll keep your cows there longer, but not too long. The cattle have to keep moving. The thought is the animal's hooves push on the soil, helping it to retain more rainfall.
You're only ever approximating what wild animals did, you know, when there weren't any people or fences to tell them what to do. But it's reasonable to think that they tried to stay on the forage that was best for them at the time.
The most common word tied to the planned grazing movement is mimicry, as in mimicking the prehistoric herds of large mammals that moved across the Great Plains. But the philosophy behind holistic management goes further. Ranchers should make a living using it.
When I learned about it, about that style of grazing, you know, the basis was everybody was producing more grass.
That's Nathan Andrews, the young rancher who leases the Fox Ranch to run his cattle.
It's hard as a producer to argue with more grass because we never have enough grass.
At the Fox Ranch, the emphasis is on documentation because the Nature Conservancy wants evidence that this approach works before telling other ranchers to try it out. The godfather of this grazing technique is Alan Savory. He's a world-renowned activist who wants to pull ranchers across the world out of poverty. He splits his time between New Mexico and Zimbabwe.
We really get the animals in the right place at the right time, for the right reason, with the right behavior.
Savory says his style of grazing management focuses on the soil and how the cattle interact with it.
We're getting the rain that falls on the ground to soak in more, run off less, but to remain in the soil and leave the soil through the vegetation or to underground water.
But if you think the entire rangeland community is singing Kumbaya, you're wrong. Savory's methods are controversial. Most of contemporary rangeland science says Savory's basic tenets, increased cattle numbers and rapid-fire grazing, have no basis. In fact, many rangeland ecologists say the only way to improve grassland is to reduce, not increase, the number of animals on it. Back at Fox Ranch, the experiment is just in its initial phases. Last year, even in the midst of drought, rancher Nathan Andrews was able to build up his herd, while many other ranchers were shedding their numbers. He counts that as a success.
If we can benefit from it in two of the worst years on record, then I think moving forward with it will be even more beneficial.
Beneficial for his bottom line and the soil he depends on. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
That's it for Business Beat. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.